Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good morning. Welcome to the clubhouse. It's Saturday, September 25th, and this is the Golf Club. Around the world, online, radiogolfclub.com, in Hawaii, on all of the islands, brought to you by Star Protection. Get the Star Team on your property for foot patrol, building security, shopping centers. Whether you need help or you'd like to join the Star Team, call Star Protection. Alakai Mechanical. Their air conditioning, and boy, do we need it this weekend. And plumbing experts, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. Excellent service, expert knowledge, work and product you can depend on. Alakai Mechanical, statewide. The computer doctor, and whether it's a PC or a Mac, a desktop, a laptop, your network's down, the computer doctor is always on call. Right across from Eagle Cafe in that same little, right there, if you need to carry it in. My pet's hurt. Moon Physical Therapy, doctor recommended, insurance approved. Another one of our sponsors, very happy to have you. Whether you were insured for workman's comp or you were in a motor vehicle accident recovering, you're coming out of surgery and you need to do some physical therapy. Moon Physical Therapy, right across from Sports Authority, we achieve results. Guests this morning on the show, Golf World and Golf World Monday, executive editor Ron Syrak, straight down the middle author Josh Karp, and Pin High Performance Dan Samet. Really looking forward to talking to all three of these people. It's a great read, by the way. If you there are lots of books in golf, and they serve different purposes. Some help you learn an aspect of the game that you're trying to improve on, whether it be your putting or your physical conditioning. Others just entertain you. But this one is a little bit of both. It's a little entertainment, and it certainly is a lot of learning. Well, the subtitle of Straight Down the Middle is How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love My Golf Swing. And that is probably just the underlying message through the entire book as we try to discover just where to find our golf swing, in what manner. We're going to be talking about the FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship that's going on right now at East Lake, next week's Ryder Cup, the Hall of Fame, the Player of the Year, the LPGA, Paula Creamer, Vision 54, I hope. some of these things I haven't cleared with my guest who's on with us now. So if I've mentioned anything that untoward, do let me know and just say, I don't want to talk about that particular item. Good morning, and this is Hawaii. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast. The Golf World and Golf World Monday executive editor, Ron Syrak. It's good to have you on the show. Are you there, sir? I can sort of... We're having some difficulty getting the connection. I can see that, maybe we should, could you call back in, because we're not, we see you that you're trying, and I can kind of hear that you're trying to make a connection, but we're having some kind of a malfunction with the system, as the computers are wont to do. They're wonderful, aren't they, when they work? We need the computer doctor. Computer doctor, please help us. We're going to try to get that connection one more time. Let's go over the Tour Championship. As it's underway, Jim Furyk and Luke Donald in the lead. Now, one of the things that I have a problem with, okay, is the fact that I have to go over these points. I don't feel comfortable. It is fine for the bookies, you know, and all the people who like to bet and gamble in Las Vegas and wherever it's legal, for them to be figuring out the points and this and the that. But for a player to be, can you imagine standing on the, you know, first tee going, okay, I've got this many points, and if I finish in such and such, and he finishes in such and such, then maybe I have a chance of actually doing something with this and turning it maybe it's ridiculous. To me, that's like the antithesis of what golf should be. Golf is about watching how the game unfolds, the round unfolds, the competition unfolds in the moment, which is kind of what we'll be talking about when we talk about Straight Down the Middle with Josh Karp. You know, it's the Ryder Cup is more exciting. I asked somebody on Twitter this morning. I asked anybody on Twitter, are you excited about the Tour Championship? Does this excite you? I got no response. Usually people say something. You know, something like, no, it didn't excite me at all. I find it completely boring. Whatever the case may be. But no one, except one wonderful soul, did actually realize, and thank you so much, See It Golf. It was great to see you. He said, maybe it's the football season. And, you know, that is so true. It takes over. Even the professionals in the game are right now talking to each other on Twitter about where they're tailgating, which games they're playing, you know, watching. It's fascinating. So we have Jim Furyk and Luke Donald. Jim Furyk, wow, amazing. Let me give you some of the points. Let me do exactly what's going on here. Okay, so Jim Furyk went in officially 480 points. Now, if he finishes first, he'd get 2,500 points, and that would be 20. Then you could maybe, no, but then, let's see, Luke Donald, he has officially 1,200 points. If he finishes first, he'd get 2,500 points, and then he would have 3,700 points, and then he could beat Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar's coming back on. He's not doing so well this morning. No, he's way down the leaderboard. Where did Matt go? Everybody was afraid. There's Matt, tied for 22nd. Oh, he's way down there. You see, that's the whole thing about this that drives me crazy. This reset of the points, resetting the points at the, that they're doing it in a very strange way. So we're waiting for Ron Cyrak, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to enlighten me on. Josh was there too. Oh, he'll be calling back in. Well, at this point, we might have Josh just join us and go with it, unless you can get in touch with Ron. Why don't we, while we're trying to get everything straight, this is live radio. Isn't this exciting? We have TaylorMade Pentas to give away today to the 18th caller. Not right now. Maybe we should do it right now. Should we do it right now? Do it now? No. Let's take a commercial break, because once one of my guests arrives this morning. You know, the clubhouse, sometimes you have a problem with your car. We just wait patiently. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Summer is coming. Whether you're in an office,
thanks, Ron. And good morning. Welcome back. We're just having some technical difficulties. We're talking with Ron Cyrak right now. He should be calling in a moment. Yes, it's my fault. I did it. Josh Carp, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I just love your book. And, you know, when Ron calls in, do you have time? You just came back from a... Was it a soccer game that you just... Was
football,
it fun?
Yeah.
Football game. Did you have fun?
You know, it was as much fun as you can have at 8 o'clock in the morning watching 7-year-olds play football. Yeah.
Hey, I've been to T-ball. I've been to soccer. Flag football, you know.
You've been there, yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been done that. It can be a whole lot of fun. You just kind of got to really get into the mindset.
Oh, absolutely. It's the 8 in the morning part that kind of...
Which is even better, because somehow they all have this energy, and they're just running around like lunatics. And Ron Cyrak joins us now. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, well, I don't have a migraine, which is why I gave you the wrong number. You know, just shoot me. It's so good to have you on the show, and we have Josh Carp. He's with us as well. He's just back from his kids' football game. So we're all getting together in the clubhouse this morning. We're talking... Josh will just kind of sit back and cruise while we talk. FedEx Tour Championship, Ryder Cup, Hall of Fame, Player of the Year. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I kind of wanted to t- talk a little bit about Vision 54. You're writing. You just wrote a book with a couple of very, very powerful women.
We have our. It's our with Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott, and it's our third book in the Vision 54 series. The first was Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, and the second was A Game Before the Game, and this one's called Play Your Best Golf Now, the Eight Essential Playing Skills for Peak Performance, and it'll be coming out in next April. And
wow.
P and Lynn are two really, really, really remarkable women who right now they are ranked the number one and the number two best female teachers in the country, and I think Golf Digest has them 26 and 35. Overall among all teachers, and of course their best success was Tia's work with Annika Sorenstam for her entire career from the time she was about 17 on, and Annika's probably the best example of Vision 54 philosophy out there, which is the belief that what you achieve is limited by what you believe you can achieve. And
you have the most wonderful quote. Imagine something that you impossible, and then go out and make it come true.
Then figure out how to get there. Yeah, you know, I mean, Annika, the Vision 54 comes from if you birdied every hole on a par 72 course, you'd shoot 54. And you know, Annika, to the day she retired, truly believed she was going to shoot 54 one day. And the day she shot 59, she birdied the first 8 holes and 12 of the first 13 holes.
Oh, that's a feeling that Josh talks about. We're going to get to that feeling. Lynn and Pia were here in Hawaii, and when Mary B. Porter King was putting together the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, they actually came and gave some of our junior golfers a coaching session. It was one of those, you know, moments that was so special that I don't think the kids that were there realized what an opportunity they were having.
Their optimism is entirely infectious. You know, it's a big part of what they do is they truly make you believe that anything's possible, and they make everybody understand that we don't all have to swing the golf club the same way. There's certain fundamentals you got to do well. You got to grip the club properly. You got to stand properly. But other than that, there's a lot of different golf swings that work, and the key to scoring low is repeatability. Being able to repeat. We've all hit great shots with the golf swings we have. It's just a question of how do you get more out of there, and they believe that belief and commitment is a big part of it. When you cross that cross the decision line from the think box into the play box, you got to go over there with absolutely no doubt in your mind that you're going to hit a good shot.
Conviction, absolute
yep.
Conviction, no hesitation, and I see that in a lot of our players. You know, Tiger Woods, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hesitation, I believe. In his own belief in himself, and that
there is, you're absolutely right. There is right now. I was at about I don't know 9 of his 12 tournaments this year, and walked a lot of holes with him. And you do not have that same feeling when he's over the golf ball that you did 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Something's missing in the mental equation in there.
Yeah. Well, obviously his world. It's like. Being a schizophrenic and having to absolutely confront that.
Well, you know, great performance is focus, right?
I mean, yes.
And his mind has been elsewhere for a good part of the year.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, very good. You got some giggles in the background there from the golf club house. Yes, indeed. His mind has been elsewhere. Now, what do you think? I have, with the FedEx Cup, this is $10 million that these guys are playing for. And I like the concept of NASCAR, you know, and going and then following sort of a format like that and creating a playoff scenario. But I don't understand the reset of the points. And then.
Well, yeah, that's it sort of undermines what they're trying to do. I mean,
yeah.
I love the event. And here's what I think their problem is. I think the word playoff is misused because playoff implies to me that you're going to be determining a season champion, you know,
yeah.
any other sport, and you know, if Charlie Hoffman wins the FedEx this year, he's not the best player this year. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, and what if somebody went out and won two majors or three majors and didn't win the FedEx Cup? Would you consider that they weren't the player of the year? Of course not. I think what they should be calling this is the FedEx Championship Series. It's a wonderfully compelling series. That it's a really cool event in and of itself. but it doesn't determine the season champion.
Exactly, which takes us right to Player of the Year. I mean, who is the Player of the Year this year? Ernie was looking really strong.
Yeah, and I would have bet anything early in the year that Ernie would win four or five times with a major this year. It's fascinating that no one stepped into the Tiger Woods void. When Mickelson won the Masters, you sort of thought, wow, he's going to have a big year.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen. And then we ended up with three sort of surprise winners in the next major championships, and Graham McDowell, Easthuizen, and Martin Kamer.
And all great players.
All of whom are good golfers.
Yes.
But surprises.
Yes.
And we don't have. I mean, if I had to vote right now, and I have a vote in the Golf Writers Player of the Year ballot, I'm not sure who I'd vote for. I mean, I sort of got to see what happens here. It looks like Dustin Johnson is playing his way out of the Tour Championship.
And that's such a shame, too. We just seem to have lost our connection completely. Josh, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. We've lost Ron. It's one of those things with communications and satellite and computer. It's just the most bizarre thing. And now I'm losing my ability to speak. So we're going to take a quick break. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the... at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Hey, we're back. I have a voice. Ron Cyrak is here, and so is Josh Karp. Welcome. It's exciting, isn't it? You know, real radio. You never know what's going to happen next. All right. We were talking about who's Player of the Year. You were saying that if you had to vote right now, you wouldn't know who to vote for. And it's maybe something we'll develop in this Tour Championship. I'm thinking maybe the Ryder Cup will show us some great player. Unfortunately, Dustin Johnson, I think you were saying, was playing himself out of the Tour Championship. Is that where we lost you?
Yeah, that's it. He's, he's three over par today's round. He's playing the last hole. He's seven over par in the tournament. He's not going to win it. And you know, he would have been a good candidate because what he did in those two major championships, despite the fact that they didn't turn out the way that he wanted to turn out, sort of made him a household name. And if nothing else, he gained that this year. But there's no clear standout out there right now.
No. And what was really frustrating for the Phil Mickelson fan base is that Phil just has not been able to step into that number one position. And how many opportunities has he had this year?
Yeah, I bet that there's, you know, I think that it started with the Players' Championship this year, and then he had, I think, nine opportunities after that to take over number one in the world ranking. And a couple of times, all he needed to do was finish fourth or fifth, and he would have done it, and imploded in the final round. It's almost like, you know, he wants it so much, and you know, quite frankly, he deserves to have it at some point. He's been clearly, by far, the second-best player in the Tiger Woods era.
Yeah, no question, absolutely. But it's like he can't close it. And it's just, you know, you ask about, we talk about Tiger having things on his mind. Phil Mickelson had what thing? He finds out about his wife, his mother, with breast cancer, and then he has some kind of arthritic condition.
He had one thing after another thrown at him over the last.
Oh, you know, I think AT&T just really doesn't like us today. I'm Josh.
Yes. Yet somehow I'm still here. I don't know what's going on.
You're just straight down the middle, man. You know, from your experiences, Josh Karp is the author of this really, really excellent book. And I have authors on all the time. So So I'm not trying to say, you know, anyone is better than anyone. Everyone, it's like being a teacher. Everyone has their own special way of bringing a message to the student. So, and you hear differently. You some people learn through sight, and when you read, you create pictures in your mind that the author is making for you. So that author you'll connect with. So each of these authors, as each teacher in golf or in each speaker on my show, connects with different people and brings them enlightenment on some little level, you know, like an aha moment, whether it's whatever tip it is. So I'm reading your book, Josh, and you are one of many authors recently who've come out with books that talk about the quest to improve your game. Right? I mean,
yeah.
John Richardson tried to do with his book, to break par.
Right.
Within a year, just break par, not become a pro. You know, another guy tried to become a pro. You know,
Tom Coyne, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Tom Coyne did that.
Paper
yes.
Tiger, sir.
Paper Tiger, right? Both of them great books, totally different. Now here, so I'm reading. I'm going along here, and I'm reading, and just laughing because you're going from one discovery to another, thinking that you've made some marvelous breakthrough, some huge. You know, I've finally seen the light. I understand my golf swing. I know how to do it. I'll be able to be in the moment where I can feel the connection. My club has hit the sweet spot. My ball is in flight perfectly, and everything is right with the world, and I feel, you know, and I know it's going to go to where I want it to go, right?
Right.
And then you find some other person to teach you, and they tear it all apart and take you all apart.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's funny. Somebody, some friend of my dad's, I played golf with a couple of weeks ago, and he goes, God, he goes, your book is funny. And I was like, well, it's about my golf game. Of course it's funny, for God's sake. I mean, there's nothing not funny about the way I play golf, so. But yeah, no, it was, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting experience. You know, I mean, I'm not as good a golfer as Tom Coyne, you know, so I knew I wasn't going on the tour, for sure. And I know John Richardson went from not playing, right, to trying to break par.
Well, he played in high school.
Oh.
And then realized that he was getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, and he couldn't break 100, you know, and so he said, okay, this is, and he took all of the devices that you could get. You know, one of the things that I think is underappreciated in all of these endeavors is the spouse factor. And he brings up the spouse factor in his book. The fact that she put up with him and took care of the house, the kids, and all of the clutter that he brought into the house, including, a jackhammer that he would... A sledgehammer, jackhammer. That's a new way of playing golf. You go out there, you just kill the course with a sledgehammer that he was using to improve his strength and conditioning, you know? And he had it in front of the television set. So how did your... Now, you have four kids.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say that the real irony of all this was that when I got a deal to write this book, I think, I sent out a book proposal with my agent, and I can't remember if it was immediately before my wife realized she was pregnant with our fourth child or immediately after. But, like, the two events, me getting a deal to do this and her becoming pregnant unexpectedly with our fourth, like, were basically simultaneous. So there was, you know, a lot of irony there.
You're about to create a child in your own right with writing a book, which is like a baby, right?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, at least in my experience, I mean, the fourth child is kind of like the go to hell child. That's where like everything completely falls apart. And so, you know, my wife is pregnant with our fourth kid, and our older kids aren't that old. I mean, my oldest is 11, and my youngest is almost 3. But you know, it was. One of those things where I was like, okay, well, you're pregnant. I gotta go take a golf lesson in Portland. I'll see you in a couple of days. So she's gotten a great reputation from this book. People email me, they go, your wife must be a saint. And I keep telling her, I'm like, you know,
you are so lucky. I'm like, everybody thinks you're like, you know, the most patient person. But, and the funny thing too is when she gave birth to our youngest, we were, I was, you know, in the middle of reading all these golf books about all these different theories and philosophies. And it was kind of unexpected that we all of a sudden had to rush to the hospital and she was going to have our youngest. And, I was reading this book. It's like a self-published book by a guy who had once been Mac O'Grady's sponsor.
Uh-huh.
And it was like this kind of really weird self-published biography of Mac O'Grady. And my wife was, had it clenched between her teeth as she gave birth to our youngest child.
Oh, my God. We have to explain who Mac O'Grady is to the audience that isn't. He basically deconstructed the golf swing.
Yeah, you know, he, it's funny, I was really, you know, I played golf in high school and in the 80s, and I was really kind of actually into Mac O'Grady, and one of my disappointments with this book was that I never got to work with him. He was, you know, he was a lefty who played righty on tour. He was very, he's, I would say, an eccentric, to put it mildly, and he actually tried, I think, at one time to get two separate tour cards, one playing lefty and one playing righty.
Okay.
And he's become one of the really, big swing coaches, and he studied the golfing machine, which is this one, you know, big kind of theory of deconstructing the swing that has resulted in a book, you know, that's like, you know, 800 pages long that explains everything.
Help.
And Mac works, he actually, and the thing I always think about with him is he works in Palm Springs. I never could get his phone number. I emailed him a couple times, never heard back, but he worked with Seve Ballesteros when Seve was trying to make a comeback, and somebody told me that at one point they went out and symbolically buried Seve's old swing in the desert. Like that's kind of like what Mac O'Grady's all about. He is really out there, and I really wanted to work with him. But
you run into this Zen philosophy through the entire book. I mean, you go from one Zen-like philosophy of playing the game to another person who seems to be zen-like, but then they go into this exaggerated need for this swing to be perfect and the swing thoughts, which seems to be in totally opposite than from the Zen idea. And so we're going to kind of take a look at some of those things and how you, going through all that, how did you stay sane and keep playing the game after going through all of these? I mean, it's bad enough reading golf, et cetera, and getting all of the different tips that we get, you know, and then trying to play the game. How can you go to all these different teachers and still be playing? Well, we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results. Need a good plumber 24/7? Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call. Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Yes, welcome to the last September Saturday show. Boy, this has been quite a ride. It's very interesting to sort of give yourself to what is happening, you know, being in the moment and just allowing everything to unfold as it unfolds, regardless of what it gives you. Kind of like playing a round of golf. That's how this show is feeling this morning. So we're still trying to reach the Golf World executive editor and Golf World Monday executive editor, Ron Thirack, again. I think he tried to call us back, and it's just one of those cosmic moments where the communication is not connecting. And there's got to be some reason for it. You know, who knows what it is. We'll discover that later. It's kind of like discovering your golf swing. And in the process, I wanted to ask him, you know, Ryder Cup. We haven't even gotten to the Ryder Cup yet. Who's going to, who do you think is going to win the Ryder Cup? Do you think it's going to be the European team? Rick, who do you think? Rick, who do you think? You have an eye?
I have as good a shot as anybody.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know, on any given day, right? Team, though. Team is a very critical part of the whole equation. The Europeans know how to play as a team. Will we play as a team? Patrick Harrington barely made the cut in a European event this weekend. And he was that very controversial pick that was made by Colin Montgomery for the Euros, right? Why are they taking Patty and Paul Casey is being left out? And here he is doing so well until he lost his swing yesterday. My goodness. And then Jeff Ogilvie stays up all night to watch some football game, you know, the most important game of his life is happening in Australia, so he has to stay up all night, and now he can't play for beans, and he's playing for $10 million. These are the questions that you ask yourself. What's important in life? So we're talking this morning with Josh Karp as well. He wrote Straight Down the Middle. I like How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love My Golf Swing, probably the best. It took me right inside. But then I got frustrated, Josh, because just as I thought you had actually found the light, and you know, then you went to somebody else, and they took it all away.
Right. Well, I write for a couple of golf magazines, and one of my editors, one of them, after this was all over, he goes, "You realize this was the stupidest possible way to try to improve your golf game." He said, "You know, anyone will tell you, go to one person, stay with one person, and learn, you know, their system. Even, you know, but he's like, the stupidest way to do it is to go to, you know, 15 different people, which is essentially what I did."
Yeah.
But you know, and yet I have to say, and maybe it's a sad commentary on my golf game, that probably worked for me better than going to one person, because I think, you know, for me, I got one or two things from each person, and not to bring my wife back into this, but she'll tell you I'm not, like, somebody will, you know, telling me something about one of my kids from school, and I'll take in, like, two things, and the rest of it I'm just smiling and ignoring. And
that's a guy thing. Okay?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm a generalist, pretty much. I mean, my view of everything is very general. I'm not really down into the details. So it was kind of good in that sense because I was able to, you know, take one or two things from each person and apply those to my game. And the stuff that confused me, I would try to understand it and then I'd just let go of it. So, you know, and what really happened, I think, for me was there was a progression where after I'd been, I think, about my sixth or seventh different instructor, things that they taught me that were similar but had been communicated differently all started to kind of click into place. So about the middle or two-thirds of the way through the book, all of a sudden I really was like, okay, wait a second, this is what it feels like to really hit a golf ball, you know, and this is what it really feels like to swing a club properly. So, you know, that, I mean, it, in a weird, demented way, it was probably the best thing for me because, you know, even though they were all of different schools of thought, there were certain similarities that I was able to work together.
I see that, the mental part of it to some degree, but also in the physical part of it, I like this Jug McSpadden drill.
Uh-huh.
This one is, and I'm going to take it right from the book, gang, okay? My description is not precisely as Waldron taught it to me, but it'll give you the basics. Stand at address. There should be no ball, nor should you ever hit a ball while doing this drill. Then do as follows. One, for righties, lefties do the reverse. In semi-slow motion, use your arms out and backwards so the club head is pointing towards 2 o'clock as if you were standing on 6 o'clock. Got this, guys? Your hand should remain above waist height, then pause. Lift upwards towards the top of your swing. Pause again. Now, coil as you turn your body to the right. Pause. Release the club as if you were swinging. Do it. Do it again. Do it 10 times, 50 times, 200 times. Yeah, you can pick up the pace. Basically, push your way to 2, push your arms up, then coil to the right and let go. It took patience, and I felt like an idiot. Then there was this epiphany. Suddenly, my conscious mind began to understand. Chet was right. Waldron was right. I was doing something unnecessary to compensate, but with the Jug McSpadden drill, I began to feel my body actually was supposed to work when it hit a golf ball. So I began to feel how my body actually was supposed to work when I hit step 4 and let go into my swing. No swing thought in the world could screw up what was happening. My body was uncoiling. My swing plane was round. My hands were suddenly coming not from somewhere on the outside of the plane, but even in slow-mo, were automatically whipping downwards very close to my hips and thighs, just to, like the diagrams in Hogan's 5 Lessons, the Fundamentals of Modern Golf. And after I'd done the drill for some time, Waldron let me actually start hitting some golf balls. Now, you say that, do you still do that drill?
You know, I do when I'm having trouble with my swing.
Uh-huh.
When I kind of start to lose things a little bit, I will do that drill. The funny thing is, I mean, I got to tell you, like, I get emails from a lot of desperate golfers since this book came out. And that is the one thing I would say more than anything else that has stuck with people. People are like, tell me how to do the drill. Tell me again how to do the drill. My mother-in-law has made me show her the drill 3 times. And it's a great drill, and it really is. I mean, you know, the kind of backstory was, you know, Jug McSpadden him and Byron Nelson were known as the Gold Dust Twins. And they were, you know, I think both from Texas and were very dominant together at one point on the tour. And Jug McSpadden kind of lost his swing at some point and went home for the winter and just did that drill without a ball, you know, all winter, you know, hundreds of times every day, and that's how he got his swing back.
Huh.
For me, it really did. I mean, I think, you know, the biggest thing is, and I don't know if you feel this way or anybody else, but whenever I would look at pictures like in, you know, the Hogan book or any other instructional, and you see those guys or you see a slow motion, you know, of a pro, and their hands are like, you know, 2 inches from their friggin' hips when they're coming through it, and I'm like, there is no possible way I'm doing that. You know, and I just never felt like that was happening with my swing, and I never thought I could even try to do it. And with this drill, it really, you know, for me, it just, what happens is you get in the proper positions, and then you release, and the club just does the work. And that, I think, that's a hard lesson. That was a hard lesson for me, and that's a hard lesson for a lot of people, is that, you know, the more you can let the club do the work, the better, you know, the better your swing is going to be. And I think most of us are really trying to kind of exert our will over the club and the ball, for lack of a better way of putting it. And being able to let go that much, it has, you know, gives you a much better swing. You hit the ball straighter, you hit the ball further.
Yes. No, it's marvelous. There's another drill that you talk about in this book that basically has you becoming comfortable. Who is the character in this in the book? Donald Sutherland character.
Oh, well, that was Jim Waldron.
Yeah,
out in Portland. That's the guy who taught me the Jug McSpadden drill. Yeah,
right.
Jim is a great guy, and he he was fantastic. I mean, he was like, if you were looking for a guy who had a non-traditional approach to golf, you know, he'd done it all. He'd lived every you know, kind of, yeah, and he teaches out in Hawaii, too. I can't remember where. He's in Portland half the year and in Hawaii half the year, and he's a great teacher. But, you know, he'd floated in flotation tanks, you know, he'd learned neuro-linguistic programming. He knew the whole deal. He'd been through every kind of non-traditional thing in the world. But he, the guy you're talking about, though, is Steve Yellen, who at the time was in Fairfield, Iowa, at what I still kind of have a hard time believing is Maharishi University.
Wait a second. I gotta tell you, folks, when you read this book, it's straight down the middle. When you take this, you get the backstories on this. Some of the color is just priceless, because Josh is going out to find Mr. Yellen. Has never met. Doesn't even know what he really looks like. He's driving down the road. And he sees as the guy who's kind of standing out in the middle of it, looking like maybe he's waiting for somebody to drive up to the house, and he's wearing sort of golf-like attire. You know, he passed for a golfer, maybe, possibly. This guy, what did you say? He gave me that...
Silence of the Lambs vibe.
Silence of the Lambs vibe, yes. So then when he actually goes, okay, like, nice to see you. I'm going to go find the Steve Yellen that I'm actually looking for. He goes off, and then Steve goes, Yellen is a man of great and genuine enthusiasm. When he gets into my Toyota Prius, he says, you're going to love it here. You're in the Prius capital of the world. Everybody here has a Prius. I mean, when you talk about how that... I decline to share the part of you that wants, you know, everybody wants and eat my Voltage bumper stickers and the I'm listening to All Things Considered, but I'm right now, let's take a moment to give a thumbs up for joining me and saving the planet. You're not a joiner.
No, like, I'm.
And you can feel it in the tone of the book. And I think that's what makes it so much fun, is that you look at all these things. You join up with this guy and you follow the philosophy. You take something that works for you out of it, and then you march on to the next one. And you take us on this journey with you. And for that, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. I went to look for a review online, and if you only buy one book this year, may I recommend that you make it Straight Down the Middle by Josh Karp, okay?
Oh, Josh, thank you very much.
Yeah, this is the author is Nick Madgett, okay? He's writing this review. He says, Josh takes you on his almost 2-year odyssey to find his inner self and game by way of Bagger Vance, Shiva's Irons, Zen Buddhism, and any other spiritualist method that takes his fancy. In his often hilarious quest to discover whether finding inner peace will lower his scores, or will lowering his scores help him find inner peace, Josh meets a myriad of golf coaches and fellow golf junkies and has produced a book that could do for the alternative golf teachers of the U.S. what Peter Maley's A Year in Provence did for the restaurants of that beautiful area. Wow, what a review. Now, there were 70 responses to that review, and one of them said, Schöner Artikel, davon will ich gern mehr lesen. And I'm going, oh my goodness, we're getting, you have followers all over the world. You have three German responses who want to read your book.
That's, I'm huge in Germany. That's...
Have you discovered? Yeah, abgefahren, wirklich ein cooler Artikel. Freue mich immer, was Neues von dir zu lesen. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Summer is coming. Whether you're in an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from design to installation to preventative maintenance of your AC system so that it operates more efficiently. Alakai's world-class technicians use only quality components to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window units to chiller plants across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical. Keeping Hawaii cool. When you walk into your office or get up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Turn on your computer and check your mail. Oh no, what does that mean? The hard drive can't be located. Whether it's a PC or Mac, desktop, laptop, network, whatever your problem, call the computer doctor on Nimitz Highway next to Eagle Cafe. Bring it in or call for an on-site appointment. The computer doctor is there to get you back up and running fast. When you need service or want the right new computer, call 532-7213. The computer doctor is on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
All right, we're talking with Josh Karp, the author of Straight Down the Middle, and we haven't been able to reach Ron Cyrak. Just hope we'll be able to connect again. Maybe the location was difficult. Sometimes just you can be in just the wrong spot. You know how it is. You move one moment, all of a sudden you don't have a signal. So he's on the road. Ryder Cup is coming up. I got to ask you, Josh, who do you think is going to win the Ryder Cup?
Oh my God! If I only knew.
Try to take your emotions out of this. Don't be American right now.
No, I read so much commentary.
Yes.
And analysis.
Yes.
On all of this, and it's like, you know, I mean, and it's not. I'm trying to think of a good way of describing this. It's not like the Super Bowl where you can go, oh well, these guys are way better, and I think they're gonna, you know, they're gonna crush them. It just seems to me that, you know, obviously I would say you'd give the edge to the Europeans, but you know, you have so many guys who are great golfers. I mean, how can you possibly know what's gonna happen? No matter who wins on the other end of this, everybody's gonna go, wow, I can't believe that's what happened. That's my take. And it's funny because each time they play, and I guess it's because of the, you know, the media environment, there's exponentially more pre-analysis.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's like you're going into every major, you know, everybody, you know, this guy is the odds-on guy to win it, you know, and then you got Graham McDowell. You know? The older I get, the less prognostication seems to make sense to me.
Yes. And that's what I was, you know, I wonder sometimes about all of that. You know, I listen to all of this input, and there is far too much of everybody now analyzing and taking, you know, these points and this, and if he does this and if he does that this weekend at the Tour Championship at East Lake, there's no way that if he wins, he's only got this many points, so he would have to, like, come in last, and we're only, like, in day two.
Yeah.
Hello, you know, you guys are, if it stays this way, the chances of it staying this way from today to tonight to tomorrow, you know, or from yesterday when they were already starting to do that, if it stays this way as it is now, then we'll have this person. That never works.
Right. I read, you know, all this stuff, you know, well, you know, he should be selecting guys who are hot. No, he should be selecting guys who are good over the line. I mean, you know, I do not have any, I do not envy Corey Pavin. I do not envy Colin Montgomery. I mean, I was reading some of the Irish and Scottish and English papers here and ever. I mean, you know, Colin Montgomery couldn't, you know, take a breath without somebody analyzing.
Oh, no.
How could Paul Casey, what's he doing about Paul Casey? You know, I'm just like, oh, my God. How those guys don't have heart attacks right in the middle of all this, I don't know. But it's really, you know, I think the turning point for me was in 2005 when the White Sox won the World Series. Every time they'd lose a game,
yes,
the whole world would seem to have come to an end. And all the comments would go, they're never going to win again. And then the next day they'd win, and they'd be like, who can beat the White Sox? And this went back and forth, you know, through all of August. And I was like, you know, I came, you know, I'm lucky, you know, I survived without being in therapy 5 days a week. And I said, you know what? Okay, I'm done. They're going to win it or they're not. And I'm going to watch the games and see what happens. I'm not going to listen to people scream about it, only to have them scream something different the following day.
See, what I find so, that tickles me more than anything right now, is the fact that what you've just described is how you have to go about playing this game of golf.
Right.
Is it, you know, as you analyze to death everything, you can't get anything accomplished. And so you have to give up analyzing everything. You just have to work at it. And you just have to go in and do the work, whatever that may mean to you, whatever that is. And the outcome will be how much you've put into it. And expectations are ridiculous. To expect something to be, you know, something that you can forecast, it doesn't make any sense. And you can't. Yes, please.
Yeah, no. I mean, when you guys were talking about Tiger earlier.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that, I mean, you know, and I always hate to talk about Tiger, A, because not that he's listening to anything I'm saying, but God knows I don't want to be on that guy's bad side. But the other thing is, he's like, that dude is not a man who I would ever want to make mad, even though I'm sure he would never know who I am. But, like, you know, the thing to me is, you know, he has spent, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, Cag Haney's gone, and he's working on his swing. And I watch Tiger, and I'm like, that guy's problem is not his swing. I mean, I'm sure there are things about his swing, you know, that could or could not be better. But to me, you know, I look at him, and that guy is just thinking all the time. And he is, you know, he is aware somehow that, like, you know, his you know, aura of dominance has been punctured. And he is playing, I think, in what, you know, as best I can tell, seems to be a very self-conscious way.
Well, it's almost like the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought, you know, I mean, the first thing I thought when all that happened was, people were like, you know, first of all, the first thing I thought was, I was like, if I was Tiger, you would never see or hear from me ever again. I give him so much credit for even walking out the front door of his house. Well, I would be gone.
Okay. Let's talk about the choice.
Yes.
of Corey Pavin choosing Tiger Woods, still the number one player in the world, despite how he's playing right now.
Right.
And I think he, first of all, as soon as that was announced, Celtic Manor was sold out.
Right.
Ticket sales were not that good before.
Right.
And then it was announced, bam, sold out. Tiger Woods did it. The equation of golf event without Tiger Woods, golf event with Tiger Woods, I know you all hate this. It just, economically, you can't put on an event and expect it to have the quote-unquote appeal, sex appeal, magic, whatever, you know, that brings to it. I don't know what it is, and you can't give it to anyone. They either have it or they don't.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine how anyone would not pick Tiger, frankly.
Well, and then there's the other factor. Who on our team is really comfortable playing on a links course in Europe?
Right.
Tiger Woods.
Yep.
He loves playing on a links course. So at least, even if they don't play him a lot, even if they hold him back, at least he can help the guys understand what it's like playing on a links course. Now, wouldn't that be the team thing to do?
Sure, absolutely.
If you know you're not playing well, but you can give advice and help the guy who is playing well,
right,
play the course.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
it makes sense.
I mean, you read all this stuff about, you know, like, oh, he's not a good teammate, he's not this, he's not that. But I mean, the fact is, I mean, he's Tiger. You know, and I know that sounds like stupid to say, but it's really true. I mean, you know, what there's no, you know, way, unless he's, you know, completely just incapable of playing golf all of a sudden, to not have that guy on your team, is my feeling.
Yeah, well, I a lot of people don't, you know, they don't want to forgive, because, you know, the trust was so deep. The respect was so immense. The You know, the idea of being able to say, I talk to Tiger, I get to talk to Tiger, I know Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine, or he, you know, he deigns to speak with me seriously. You know, there are a lot of people who were so blown away by this duplicitous lifestyle, but I've always been a person that, unless you have not done anything terrible in your life ever, you know, who are we to judge? You know, he's going to get his own. That's just karma.
What's interesting to me, too, is I think, you know, like, I've been a pretty big sports fan my whole life. He's the first athlete I can think of who has been this insanely popular without really ever demonstrating a huge amount of personality. You know, I mean, people really had this huge affection for a guy who, I mean, and I think it's, you know, who he is. He's not a super warm guy.
No.
Doesn't really say what's on his mind. You know, I mean, you know, because he's very protective, you know, and having grown up in a town with, you know, where Michael Jordan played, yep. You know, and here's Jordan, who's not, you know, always a super warm guy, but Jordan could do anything. He could kill people, and people would be like, well, but yeah, it's Jordan, you know, he's real competitive.
He's real competitive.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Jordan. Whatever he did, they're like, yeah, but, I mean, come on, that's Jordan. I mean, that guy's so competitive. I mean, you know, of course he killed the guy. And with Tiger, you know, I just think, like, he didn't have that. He had an enormous amount of magnetism for a guy who didn't have the kind of outward magnetism Jordan does, if that makes any sense.
It does. That's always been his prerogative to hold back. And at the same time, flash a smile.
Right.
And he let his clubs do the talking. And
he's one of the most I can't think of another more compelling guy to watch. I mean, you know, even if you don't like golf, I mean, I have friends who don't like golf who would watch every, you know, if Tiger was in the hunt any Sunday, they were there.
Absolutely. I look at the tour. It's interesting. They're going to hold a number of events, even though they don't have sponsors. They're not going to drop them because there's no sponsors. I wanted to talk to Ron Syrak earlier about the LPGA. There are like 10 events in the U.S. for LPGA players to play in. And how do you, if you're not one of the top 60 or top 80 players, make a living just on 10 events?
Right.
And then there's the quote-unquote second-tier players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do they even, it's very, very, very difficult right now. And the tour, a PGA tour, is so well off. It has so much financial, I guess they have deep pockets in and of themselves, that they can hold themselves up and continue to put on an event, even if they don't have a title sponsor. And it's interesting to see how they keep it all together. We need to take a break, and I don't know if we're going to be joined by Dan Sammet, Pin High Performance. We're going from the mental game to the physical game of golf. We'll take this break. We've got the Pentas. These are beautiful golf balls. You know, when you get these Penta golf balls, you almost don't want to take them out of the box. They just look so pretty. But, yeah, we're going to give two sleeves away. You wouldn't be able to get a whole case and actually survive. I just about fell out of my chair. But we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991, guarding your business, buildings, and retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. You can join the Star Team. We're looking for a few good men and women. Call Star Protection Agency at 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
KPUA Hilo, KHUI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. Of course, always online at RadioGolfClub.com. We're talking with Josh Karp. He is the author of Straight Down the Middle. And Dan Savitt, good morning. Dan? Boy, I feel like I'm doing the last hour all over again. Dan, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Good. I am well.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm so glad to hear you. Josh.
Yes.
I think I maybe it's a computer. Let me ask Dan. Dan, do you have your computer volume turned up?
No, I do not.
But it's interesting. I'm just getting some feedback.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's okay. We'll work with it. Josh, before you go,
yes.
I've had a lovely time talking with you. You've been a real... we have to do the one thing, which I really, really, really want to do when I go to the range one day. Very important. Take a golf club, whatever club it happens to be, and not think about the swing, just swinging the club. No swing thoughts. Banishing swing thoughts. Where did you learn that drill, for lack of a better word, from?
You know, a couple different people really had me try to work on that, but I think, as we were talking earlier about, Steve Yellen, who I worked with, you know, his theory really was, you know, basically he had studied how people got in the zone, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. And really, you know, for him, the idea was that the more you're thinking about the result, the more you're thinking about, you know, the technical aspects of your swing, the worse you're going to be, the tighter you're going to be. So, you know, really the simple way of saying it is that what you do is you really focus on being comfortable. You focus on something that's kind of abstract when you're standing over the ball. So you stand over the ball and you don't think, okay, am I going to keep my left arm straight? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? You focus on going, okay, I'm going to be physically comfortable when I stand over this ball, and my goal is to be physically comfortable when I finish. And it sounds really, you know, and it's not easy to get there right away, but it's really, for me, that was a very, you know, important lesson, because it did. It really helped me. I needed a lot of different ways to learn how to get out of my head when I'm
mm-hmm.
in, but that was one of the more effective.
Yes, and it made a lot of sense to me, too. If I would just stand there and be comfortable. One of the beauties of this is in Hawaii, we have something called a spiritual belief in mana, that all things have an energy, a force of energy, whether it's a rock, and that from the earth, the energy comes and gives life, and that you need to take care of the earth. It's the mana, you know, the mana of all things, right? Everything has its own mana. And in the book that you need to get, straight down the middle, he talks about planting your feet and allowing the energy to come. And if this sounds like hogwash to you, fine, wherever you want to have it come from, it can come from your feet. But let it come up out of the earth as you plant yourself there. Become comfortable in that position. Become comfortable. Let that energy flow up. And then the idea of becoming comfortable holding the club and being comfortable with myself, with my body, holding the club, swinging the club, just being comfortable. And not being self-conscious and not worrying about all the different things that you're thinking about while you're doing all that. How could you possibly hit a ball when all of that's going on?
Right, right. I mean, that is the thing. I mean, I think that, you know, really, you know, one of the guys I worked with had said, you know, he had been a pro on the European tour, and he said, you know, most guys who are playing on tours, with some exceptions, learned how to play the game before they became self-conscious. So swinging a golf club is something they do like walking.
you know, and we don't think about how we walk.
Exactly.
But if somebody sat there and gave you instructions on how to walk and you followed them, you'd look like a robot.
I did that once when I was a kid. As we wrap this up, I just wanted to say that once when I was walking home from school, I don't know, I was 8, 9 or something, I tried to figure out how to walk. That you put one foot in front of you, and then you push the earth away, and then you put the next foot down, and then you push off, and then you put the next... You know, children are freaky that way. You know, they have these really weird things going on in their minds as they try to figure out life and how, what their whole raison d'etre is, you know, for being on the planet and in the situation they're in. So sometimes we have to approach the game that way, you know, but just play, just have fun, and not have any of those strange thoughts that creep in. So I want to bring Dan in, and I you're welcome to stay.
I'm going to run, but thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure having you.
Have a great weekend.
You too. And the book is Straight Down the Middle, and his name is Josh Karp. That's K-A-R-P. Dan.
Yes.
It's good to have you. And I hear we're going from a very zen kind of mental approach to the game. But to accomplish, and one thing that a player a while ago said that he got very frustrated doing, he's a professional, and he would have friends come up to him, let's say in a pro-am, or they were, you know, just went out on a foursome. You know, these guys actually do have friends that do play.
Surprisingly, yes.
Yeah, for fun. And the friend would say, can you show me how to do this? How do you do that? You know, I want to learn that. So he would try to teach the person, the friend, you know, give them. And it was so frustrating because he said, I realized that they were physically incapable of performing what it was that I was doing, so they couldn't learn it. You have to be in a certain physical condition to be able to pull off what these guys that were watching on television do, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. Just for everybody out there who doesn't think that golf is a sport, I mean, obviously most of us that play it don't think that's the case. Or at least attempt to play it anyhow. The biggest misconception is, again, that it doesn't require, you know, specific physical attributes, and everybody can, you know, pick up a club and supposedly let the club do the work. But as I have some good laughs with my clients once in a while, you know, if you tell the club to do the work and you put the club down, oddly enough, it doesn't swing for you. So having the body physically prepared certainly is a key. So everything from flexibility to stability, strength, and power are the major sort of four pillars that you want to look at.
And you do that you have pin high performance.
Yes, that's correct.
And you are a pin high, you're a pin high performance certified golf biomechanic? That's so complicated.
Yeah, a big fancy title for basically somebody who prepares the body to be able to swing the club properly. but the interesting part about the certified golf biomechanic, it's through the Czech Institute in San Diego, California. And essentially, Paul Czech is the head instructor at the Institute, but I'm a direct understudy of one of his major coaches, Janet Alexander, who does a wonderful job with a lot of touring professionals in both the LPGA and PGA Tour, and then some of the nationwide and so on and so forth. But the main principle and the key components to all of these are to look at, again, and assess each individual person to find out where they are, break down not necessarily their swing. A lot of times we'll work with a swing coach and help them to figure out what we see versus what they're seeing, and then from there we're going to design something that's going to be comprehensive. So again, whether it be a flexibility side of things or weight training, strengthening, power movements, whatever we need to do to get them to where they would like to be, whether it be goal-oriented or performance-oriented, that's what we work to do.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you. You know, I would come to you and say, okay, given my condition, what can I expect of my game?
Yes. Well, it's a great question, and everybody's so individual. And again, going back to your conversations earlier that you just had in the show, when you're talking about, you know, working with one person versus several people with a swing, I mean, that's what we ideally want to do, is have one coach that we can work with. So swing coach preferably, and then from there look and see that person's unique individual swing. And again, the swing faults that may be occurring and why they're occurring. Is it an actual problem with the technical side of the swing, or is it an actual problem because maybe it's a restriction of range of motion, or they're not able to generate enough power? So, for instance, if you're talking about yourself and you're coming to me saying, yes, I'd like to, you know, be able to alter my swing as far as that goes, I'm not going to touch the swing per se, but what I might be able to do is particularly is improve some flexibility. And I've seen people gain 10, 15, 20 yards just from improving that in a very, very short time period. So
interesting. You talked, too, about correcting muscle imbalances. What does that mean?
Muscle imbalance, I know, and again, this is sort of a very broad term, and it gets used very loosely and in a lot of terms, times rather in the wrong context as well. When you're looking for muscle imbalances, particularly if you think about what most people do that play golf, a lot of business professionals, of course, so long periods of time either in boardrooms, meetings, sitting in front of computers, potentially maybe driving from place to place, so most of the time their body is in a flexed forward position. So what's going to happen is all those muscle imbalances are generally going to occur in the flexed position. So, for instance, as an example, if you were to stand over a ball at the address position, quite often you're going to see that upper back up between the shoulder blades. You may have a bit of rounding over top of that, which may cause you to basically inhibit the range of motion as far as how far you can swing. So the front muscles are generally very strong, but they're also very tight, while the muscles in the back, for instance, like the whether it be the lower back or the glutes, the hamstrings, or the back of the thigh there, those muscles will not be as strong comparatively speaking. So we want to balance those two areas off to, A, prevent injury, which is the most important thing, because you can't play if you're hurt. And then if you're looking for more of a performance base, we correct as much of that as we can from a mobility first, and then work on the strengthening aspects afterwards.
Interesting. You also talk, I'm imagining, that if I told you this is what I'm willing to put in to my physical condition, okay, work out a plan for me, because realistically you could come up with this great a goal that would make me into, you know, this super athlete, but if I'm not willing to put the work in, I've spent money seeing you for nothing.
That's right, exactly. It's just like going out and getting, you know, yourself an excellent golf coach, as far as, you know, whether it be from the swing side or the mental side or anything else. There's definitely going to be an element of time that you're going to have to put into to make sure the requirement is there. But again, going back to most of it, for most people, the biggest hindrance that I generally will tend to see is the lack of range of motion in certain areas. And the reason, again, obviously, that is so important, if you're talking about coil on coil and all those wonderful technical things, yeah, maybe it's going to decrease your distance if you can't move. But I think for us at Pin High Performance, what we want to look at is making sure that, A, you can play the game without being injured. And that's the biggest thing that we can see. There's a huge amount of touring professionals. It can be anywhere from 40 to 55% at any given time on tour that are injured. So we want to make sure that you can enjoy playing the game, and then, of course, because you're able to move freely, too, as well, obviously your game is going to improve just based upon that fact as well.
When I went to pinhighperformance.com, on the website it says there's a free consultation, an hour. Click here to sign up.
Yes, that's right. What we offer in that particular instance is we have a no-obligation consultation, so that can be done either in person. Now, I know we're a little bit far from Hawaii, but we're in the Toronto, Canada area. But essentially, with the consultation, there can also be a phone conversation if that is a better option, depending on where your location is in the world. But that's a non-issue. From there, we can kind of get a nice idea of where things are at for you at this current point in time. Be able to do a certain amount of assessment. There are some forms that I usually forward to some people that I would be working with, and that'll give me a better snapshot once those are filled out of what you're after as far as where you are currently in not only a physical state, but also in a few other states when you're talking about stress levels and so on and so forth, because we like to address as many things as we can to make sure that you're going to be playing well and also keeping yourself kind of healthy at the same time. It's a nice little bonus. So, but yeah, that's available in any format. Like I said, it's either via the internet, through telephone conversation, or in person too as well.
What number would that call?
The easiest number to reach us for a consultation is 905-339-8815. That would be a direct line to myself. Or I also have a business partner named Chris Melnick, who is in business with me on the east end of where I am, and he would be at 416. Pardon me.
I just had a mic blank. I know, I put you on the spot. That's okay.
Okay, not a problem at all. Anyhow, the easiest way probably is to go ahead and call me directly, and then what we do is we work together as a team and go from there.
Excellent. We're going to give away some beautiful tailor-made Penta golf balls. We're going to give them away, 6 of them. You get 2 sleeves flying into your house. You can be anywhere, as long as you're the 18th caller. And the number is 808-296-5467. Call now. I'm getting a little bit of an echo, so I hope that doesn't bother you folks. What I really want to do is, like, ask a question so that then we just hear Dan talking. You also have a blog, Dan, and it's very interesting what you were talking about, genetically altered salmon, whether or not they're going to be put on the market. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, well, along with what I do with the golf, I'm also very health conscious myself, and I like to try to help to educate people. And we're talking about the genetically modified salmon, which I think most people have probably seen in the news. But if not, essentially what's happening is there's been a modified Atlantic salmon, and what they've done is take the genes from an eel species and a Pacific salmon and cross them. And what that allows this genetically enhanced fish to do is produce more growth hormone and grow year-round versus the short growing season of the regular Atlantic salmon. So an 18-month-old salmon that is non-genetically modified will be approximately half the weight of an 18-month-old genetically modified salmon that has this extra DNA. So it's a bit of an interesting classification of so-called fish. The FDA has been under review with this. They just recently, within actually the last few days, have decided that it's not fit for human consumption yet at this point. But all the signs are pointing that in the not-too-distant future, that will be the first genetically enhanced food product, I guess if you will, that will be sold on store shelves. And it will not be required to be labeled by law at this point in time.
Wow. I don't know if I'm old-fashioned or just, you know, the idea of taking these two different, it's like we're messing with Mother Nature and it doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, so there are some ramifications. I mean, obviously the FDA basically has claimed that it is essentially Atlantic salmon and that there is no difference, which is fine. That's there's certainly I can understand the school of thought on that. But at the same time, there are the people that are worried about this in particular, again, much like what you're saying, is the fish was actually created this reason for a certain, or pardon me, is created this way for a certain reason. And we don't necessarily want to be altering these products because we do not have any studies and we do not know what the long-term ramifications of ingesting these types of products are.
Frankenfish. Is that's what they're called?
Yeah, frankenfish is sort of a nickname, and anything that's sort of been genetically altered, you're getting that term frankenfoods kind of kicking around. It's kind of comical, but at the same time, I guess it gets its point across quite nicely, so...
Oh, it certainly does. Oh, when you also you talk about what is in your water, in Hawaii,
yes.
We don't really worry too much about that, but we're speaking to a large audience worldwide right now. You have the book that you talk about, Fight for Your Health, Exposing the FDA's Betrayal of America.
Yes.
The gas fields underneath the eastern seaboard, and get the gas getting into the water supply. And some of those, we see that on television where they light the water and it actually burns because there's natural gas in the water. Is that
yes.
what you're talking about?
Well, that's definitely one of the key concerns, but even within regular municipal drinking water, unfortunately, we have a number of other concerns. I think most people understand that there's certainly heavy metal contamination like lead and mercury and so on. I think those are probably the most common ones that are familiar to most people, but we certainly have a number of other things that we add to the water, for instance, like fluoride, which is which is unfortunately it's promoted for healthy teeth and so on and so forth, but it's actually a byproduct of the aluminum industry and is quite toxic to the body. And there's been studies to show that both groups that use the fluoride and don't use the fluoride essentially have the same amount of cavity, cavity expectancy as far as people, you know, again, having the same amount in either category. So do we really need to be putting toxic chemicals into our water supply such as that basically we know is a carcinogen? So cancer-causing agents slash, you know, there are a number of other things. If you talk about mercury, it's neurotoxic, so brain issues, unfortunately, with something like that, too, as well. And there's just a whole host of other ones that I don't think people are really familiar with, a whole lot of volatile organic chemicals, or VOCs, which are commonly called, certainly exist in the water supply. And some of them are, again, from Mother Nature. That happens naturally occurring, but the majority of the ones that we're concerned about would be, again, those sort of heavy metals, and then some other things that we actually do to the water table ourselves. For instance, the amount of prescription medications that are actually found in the water is very, very high, too, as well. So
that's why the DEA is doing the No Questions Act take-back program here in Hawaii. If you bring your old prescription meds that you don't need anymore, you take them in, no questions asked, because people are actually, you know, flushing them down the toilet. They ended up wherever it's a sink, and it ends up getting back into the water supply. Let's go back to golf now.
Sure. Yep.
The 2010 Tour Championship from East Lake. Now, of the 30 players that you see out there, who's the most physically fit?
Oh goodness. There's a number of really, really fit individuals, certainly. There's a few guys that jump off the page right away. Camilo Villegas, definitely one of them. From our European neighbors there, Rory McIlroy is definitely another one that really takes the fitness level very, very seriously. And I think for the most part, if you look at most of the sort of early 20-somethings, guys like Ricky Fowler and so on and so forth, all these young fellows that are coming up on the tour that are... they're basically bombers, and you can physically see that they look after themselves very, very well. So I think that generation Tiger sort of inspired that generation, and it seems like, again, most of those early 20-somethings that are making a mark on the tour, and even the ones that are just sort of that borderline right now, you're going to see that as a continuing trend, thanks to Annika Sorensen and Tiger Woods.
Yeah. The echo is really bad. Are you on a Bluetooth, possibly?
No, I'm not. No.
It's very strange. But we're going to have to end the call. And
nope.
I want to
okay,
thank
not
you,
a problem.
And thank you so much for being on the show. It's been enlightening. And I'll give out your number after we get the echo taken care of.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate you, and rather I appreciate yourself, yes, but also having me on the show, too, as well. It's been a pleasure, and I just want to say thank you to everybody and your listeners as well.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch.
Again, okay. Thank you very much.
Aloha.
Take care. Bye-bye.
It's very difficult to explain to somebody about the echo, which we're still experiencing. Oh, there we go. See, it's been a communication nightmare this morning. I want to thank all of you for being with me. I want to thank you for your mana. We were talking earlier with Josh. It's a really good book. You should pick it up. The winner of our TaylorMade Penta golf balls, Len Nakahara of Kalihi. Congratulations. We're going to get in touch with you, get your address, and I'm actually going to put them in the mail, and they'll come to you, priority mail, so they don't disappear. The mailman won't take the golf balls, Danielle. Okay, so how are we doing at East Lake? Luke Donald is back in sole possession of first place. Jim Furyk is in second right now. Retief Goosen. Now, has anybody said anything about Retief Goosen? I haven't heard his name once. In all of the, Paul Casey, he's getting his swing back. Kevin Na, Charlie Hoffman, Jeff Ogilvie, Nick Watney, Phil Mickelson moved up five spots. Wow, he's coming on. You know what? The story today, though, is Kevin Streelman. I mean, here's a guy. He's worked his way. He is so thrilled. This opens so many doors. This tour championship means a lot. And I'm also really happy to see Ryan Palmer in the Tour Championship. Won the Sony Open in Hawaii. Went into a real lull. Just talk about, you know, having to get your game back. Missed like 9 cuts. And then, bam, he's at the Tour Championship with the top 30 in the world playing. It's awesome to see that. So may you all hit the sweet spot every time. I'd like to thank our sponsors for being there for us. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. Excellent service, expert knowledge, work, and product you can depend on. They are statewide. Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection, get the star team on your property. Foot Patrol, building security, shopping centers, event security. If you want to put on an event and you need security, whether you need help or maybe you'd like to join the star team, call Star Protection. Moon Physical Therapy, doctor recommended and insurance approved. Yes, whether you've been hurt, it's a workman's comp or an automobile accident, or you're recovering from surgery. They're on Ward Avenue, just across from Sports Authority. Moon Physical Therapy. They achieve results. Hawaii Golf News and Travel. Norm Gunther's always coming up with interesting things. Every month you can find an issue of Hawaii Golf News and Travel at your favorite golf course. The Computer Doctor. PCs or Mac. Desktop, laptop, network is down. Whatever your problem is, call the Computer Doctor. He'll come to your home, he's on call, or you can carry in whatever's broken. Call the Computer Doctor. They're on Nimitz, right next to Eagle Cafe. And, of course, you can always hear the show at RadioGolfClub.com. You can always find the show at iTunes in their podcast, okay? Or you can find us at Stitcher Radio for your smartphone. It's a really cool app. Stitcher.com, download it to your smartphone, whatever it is that you use, your Droid. And then it doesn't use any memory, and you can just listen to the show. It streams right onto the phone. It's a great app. If you're looking for a place to play golf today at Volcano, there's a 10-18. Kiahuna has a 10-12, and may the Southside Men's Club have a great day today. Dunes at Maui Lani has a 9-30, and McKenna has a 10-42. This is 10 days after aeration at McKenna. So thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. KGOH-FM 99.9. KONI-FM 104.7. KDUA-AM 670. UMU-AM 1500. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
This broadcast is copyright of the Golf Club Radio Show 2010.